Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Good morning. So there's this moment in all of our lives, and you realize you're not as young as you think you once were. And it's not always a big dramatic moment. It can just kind of sneak up on you, and all of a sudden, there it is, and you feel old. Mine happened just a few months ago. I woke up and I couldn't move my neck. I had to kind of turn sideways in order to look to the left, but I didn't do anything. I wasn't lifting weights as you can tell, I haven't been lifting weights or running a marathon or doing yard work. I just woke up. I had just been sleeping. Anyone else have that happen before? Maybe? It's okay. You don't have to admit it in church. Yeah, okay. Welcome. Welcome to the club. You're old. So getting older, it reminds you that we're not invincible. We reach that point where our bodies start to tell us of our age. They remind us of that, and it helps us remember that we've lived life, we've had experiences, and to not take for granted a good night's sleep free of pain. So it's a good reminder. So welcome to those joining online. My name's Trevor. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Alliance. And before I came on staff, I've been around about almost 10 years now. I helped out a lot with DL and Awana, so I got to hide things in my beard all the time. It wasn't as gray and it was longer at the time, so that was a lot of fun. And I've helped out with our young adults program, and once I came on staff, I helped a lot with our mini churches and guest services, and now my main focus is with our men's ministry, which is just, it's such a blessing to be a part of. So last weekend we had our men's retreat at Green Lake, which is an awesome time away. We had great weather. And now today, Memorial Day weekend. A few important things that we always want to remember and help us celebrate Memorial Day: the smell of the grill, the furniture sales that are happening everywhere. You get the postcards, you get the emails, right? And the annual debut of our dad bods. Yep, annual debut. The aprons that say Kiss the Cook or Master Griller. You gotta bust those out. So we celebrate those delightful quirks of the holiday, but it's also a time to remember its deeper significance. Amidst the barbecues and laughter, relaxation, it's time to honor the brave men and women who sacrificed their lives for our freedom. It's a day to reflect on their courage and their incredible gift of liberty they secured for us. Well, I had the honor of officiating my uncle's funeral last week. He was Army veteran, went to Vietnam, was wounded, he received the Purple Heart. And he suffered many physical and mental health issues all throughout his life. And while preparing for his funeral, I came across a quote that my aunt had posted. It said, "And the truth is that all veterans pay with their lives. Some pay all at once, while others pay over a lifetime." And that was true of my uncle's story. We grieve and we mourn his passing, but we also rejoice in knowing that he trusted Jesus, and so now he's at peace with him. So let's keep our sense of gratitude and remembrance in our minds this weekend. Yes, let's enjoy our time, the day off of work, the funny aprons, all of that, but let's take a moment to honor those that made it possible. And for some of you, it's a difficult thing to remember those hard seasons, those seasons of grief in our lives. Or maybe you're in the middle of one right now. And scripture shows us that it's okay to grieve. It's okay. But it also pushes us towards hope. So we hold grief on one hand and we hold hope in the other. And how can these two things that seem so different balance each other out? Can they really coexist together? And I believe that they can. So we're going to explore today how we can remember with hope rooted in the promises found in God's word. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app on your phone, please head to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 13. I'm going to read the passage and then give you some takeaways to help apply it to our lives. So here we go, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. As we gather on this weekend, we remember those that have sacrificed their lives for our freedom and safety. Lord, as we turn to your word, we're reminded of the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the promise of resurrection and eternal life, a hope that sustains us even in the midst of loss and grief. Lord, show us how to balance grief and hope. And I confess that even in my own walk, I find it difficult at times to keep these in balance. Open our hearts and minds as we reflect on your message to us. May your Spirit fill this place, comforting those who mourn and strengthening our faith in your eternal promises. Help us to remember with hope as we look forward to the glorious day when we'll be reunited with our loved ones in your presence. Guide my words, Lord, that they may bring comfort and encouragement and a renewed sense of hope to everyone here. Lord, would you speak this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this can be a tough passage to understand, so we want to break it down here this morning. And I always want to give a little background and context into it so we don't risk pulling something from the text that isn't the author's intent or reading into the text something that isn't there. So 1 Thessalonians, one of Paul's first letters written. On his missionary journey, he was with Silas and Timothy traveling all throughout the Mediterranean. He wrote this while he was in Corinth around 51 AD. A few months earlier, he had visited this city of Thessalonica, preached the gospel in their synagogue or their church. He did this for a few weeks, and as Paul had grown accustomed to throughout his life, many Jews and Greeks accepted the gospel message. They embraced it. And while those that didn't, they grew angry, stirred up the crowd against him, and forced him to move on. And as he continued traveling, he received this great report from Timothy, who had stayed behind, that the believers in the church were doing well. They did have a few questions that Paul would address, mainly about what happens to a believer who dies before the day, before the Lord returns. In the first three chapters, Paul had a lot to say about that good reputation, encouraging them. Chapter 4, then, he begins to address these points to help clarify. So in this section here, Paul begins to explain the rapture, which is the moment when Christ will remove believers from this earth. So that's a lot of context, a lot of background into it, but three points this morning. I'm going to make it really easy. We want to see what the big picture of what Jesus did and what he's going to promise to do. We want to look at how, because of this passage here, we can learn to grieve with hope, to live in the expectation of Christ's return one day, and how to encourage each other along the way. So point one, how do we grieve with hope? Depending on what translation you're using, this section of chapter 4 has this heading of believers who died, or the hope of the resurrection, or the ESV that I'm using here says the coming of the Lord. Now remember, when this was written, it was a letter. There was no chapters or verses or headings. to help clarify that. The translators have said this was what summarizes this section. So it's basically saying this is the hope and assurance of Christ's return. So this passage gives reassurance for believers who have died, the hope of the resurrection, and the anticipation of the Lord's coming. And these words are often read at funeral services, just like last week at my uncle's. The finality of their earthly life, but the hope of the resurrection to one day be reunited with them and be with the Lord forever. So let's unpack it a little more here. Starting in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. Uninformed, or some translations would put it ignorant, meaning they've missed something, or they're unfamiliar with, or unaware that they're thinking about something incorrectly. Paul addresses them as brothers, or some would put it brothers and sisters. It's affectionate, and it really highlights that what follows is important. And you can see how he does this all throughout his other letters as well, addressing them as brothers and sisters, and then hitting them with truth. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. So he says, don't be unaware about those who sleep or sleep in death. He gives us a great way to look at the passing of a believer. Our word for cemetery comes from this word used here, and it means a place of sleep. Our souls will live on for all eternity, for the believer in the presence and perfect peace with the Lord in heaven, and for the unbeliever, eternal punishment and torment apart from the Lord. So he says, don't be misinformed about those who fall asleep in the Lord. What are they being misinformed on? He continues, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Grief is powerful. It can touch the deepest part of our emotions. It causes a wide range of feelings, from sadness and anger to confusion and even relief. It can be overwhelming. It's a universal human experience. It can transcend cultural, geographical, social boundaries. It can also help shift our priorities. Many people find a new purpose or meaning in their life after experiencing a profound loss. It's a deeply connecting force, as everyone can relate to the pain of losing a loved one. I remember when my dad was in his final days, some things just, they didn't seem to matter as much. We just wanted to spend time with him. The emails and texts could wait. The project at work could wait. The little squabble with a friend or family member just didn't seem important at all compared to just being with him in those final moments. It really helps put things into perspective. And if you're not a Christian or figuring out this whole church thing and what to do with Jesus, becoming a Christ follower doesn't mean that your life is now easy. You're still going to experience tough times, but your perspective should and will shift to one of hope during your grief. All that to say, when it comes to death, Paul is pointing out the difference between our Christian hope and the world's despair. As humans, grief and sadness at losing a friend or family member should cause sadness. That's normal. Christians or Christ followers should view death differently. Yes, we still have sadness that they're not here with us, but there should also be some level of joy that they're now in the presence of the Lord and away from pain, away from suffering. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we're confident, yes, well-pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He's not just making it clear that we're to grieve with hope, but also we need to live with a confident expectation of what's to come. Point two, live with expectation. The expectation of what? Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Paul taught them some about the end time events, such as Christ's return to earth to gather believers, known as the rapture. They also knew about the day of the Lord, where God would bring a time of judgment to the ungodly. This is known as the tribulation. Pastor Dennis usually has a pause button here. He must take it with him. So, pause button for Pastor Dennis. So we'll just pretend it's there. We have a whole class, as Pastor Brian mentioned, about the end times, about things to come, and it's called Things to Come. Yes, you were paying attention. Great. So Pastor Dennis walks through those end time events. So we're not going to spend a lot of time here. It's not our main focus today, but sign up for that class. It's going to be awesome. So moving to verse 15. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. This should bring great comfort to the believer that those who have died will not miss out on those end time events. There will be a resurrection just as Christ was resurrected from the dead, and those that have already died will be gathered first. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is what brings comfort for our seasons of grief and loss. The Lord won't forget about those who have died in him. He comes back for them. In John 14, Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." The believer's resurrection is directly tied to Christ's resurrection. Paul wrote in 1 and 2 Corinthians that Christ is the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. And he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. Verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Paul now shifts to the other group of people that are going to participate in this rapture, those who are still alive at the coming of the Lord. So notice that Paul says, we who are still alive. And this would show that he thought it could still happen even in his lifetime. He didn't predict a specific time, just that it could be any time. As Jesus taught in Matthew 24, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Paul didn't get into date setting or pushing Christ's return far off into the future. So many of his other letters that he wrote push this urgency of living with this expectation that Christ could return at any moment and to be ready. This whole idea is that we're to live with this posture of expectancy of Christ's return. Our time here on earth is short. There are days that seem to drag on, but in the blink of an eye, a week has gone by, and then a year, and then 10. The Lord could come back at any moment. It creates the sense of urgency to do all we can for the kingdom of God. So what if you knew that Jesus was coming back in a year? What would you do differently? How would it change your daily life? Would you take that job or promotion? Would you spend more time with loved ones? Would you go on vacation? Would it not change anything in your life? Would you tell more people about Jesus? All throughout the New Testament, the writers are trying to instill this sense of urgency that Christ could come back at any moment. And our call is to do the same. Living with that same sense of urgency and expectation. It should shift our priorities. It should shift our decision-making process. It should guide every area of our life. With this hope, we're not only looking forward to that day, but we're also called to encourage one another in the process. Encourage one another. Verse 18, therefore, he's very direct. Encourage one another with these words. Life can be tough. It can be draining and exhausting. There's so much stress and anxiety. We're so connected digitally, but we can feel so alone and isolated. We need to surround ourselves with godly men and women that can help encourage and support us along the way, and then we in turn can offer encouragement to them. Be present for those that are grieving and struggling. Just be present. Speak words of hope and encouragement and remind them of God's promises. Not that you're just trying to make the grief go away, but just reminding them of God's promises. Hebrews 10 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Encourage one another, love one another, build each other up. I encourage you this week, read this passage again and ask, how can we grieve with hope? How can we live with expectation that the Lord could return at any moment? How can we encourage one another along the way? And this thought of not knowing our eternal destiny can be very unsettling. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you with the certainty that you can know that your eternity is secure in Jesus. Our assurance is rooted in the work that Jesus accomplished through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Famous verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." In moments of doubt, turn to God's promises in his word. Remember that your salvation is not based on your feelings or your actions, but on the finished work of Jesus Christ. I want to bounce back quickly to verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4:14. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Do you notice something here? Don't read scripture too quickly. Read it slow. It's easy to miss something important. Paul says that Jesus died, but we fall asleep. Jesus experienced the fullness of death, the full wrath of God, the punishment for our sins. We see in 1 Peter 2 that he bore our sins on his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. T.E. Wilson writes this, "Death has been changed to sleep by the work of Christ. It's an apt metaphor in which the whole concept of death is transformed. Christ made sleep the name for death in the dialect of the church. His death, Jesus' death, transformed or forever changed death into sleep for believers. When believers die, their soul goes immediately into fellowship with the Lord while their earthly bodies temporarily sleep in the grave awaiting the Lord's return. Death is now like sleeping as Christ has conquered it, so we don't have to experience God's wrath or punishment." Challenge for you, look at your life. Look at your priorities. What are your goals? Where and what are you spending your time on? How's your relationship with Jesus? We have to start by acknowledging the state of our heart. Every one of us has sinned and we failed to meet God's perfect standard. That sin is universal, it separates us from God. And I grew up in a Christian home, so I knew these verses in my head, but they never made their way to my heart. I knew intellectually, as Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but it didn't change my life. Sin carries a penalty, which is death. It's both a physical and a spiritual separation from God. But God, in his great mercy, offers us a gift, eternal life, through what Jesus did on the cross. The gift is not something we earn. It's freely given to all who believe. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And my favorite scripture is Romans 5:8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we're still in our mess, still in our sin, God showed his love by sending Jesus to die in our place. This act of love provides the way for us to be reconciled to God. And what do we have to do? Romans 10:9. "Declare with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Salvation comes through faith. When we confess Jesus as Lord, believe in his resurrection, we're saved. We cannot save ourselves. But the promise of salvation is available to everyone. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, you can do that today. Jesus offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe in him. By recognizing your sin, believing in Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, confessing him as your Lord, you can receive that free gift today. I want to invite the band back up, and as they come, I want to take just a few minutes to do some work with God. Take a moment, and if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, to surrender your life over to him, and you feel that pull, that calling from him, don't ignore it. Or if you've made that decision to follow him, but through one thing or another, you've walked away, I want to encourage you that Jesus has not walked away from you. He's been right there the whole time, waiting for you to turn to him. I ran from Jesus, not just walked. I ran from Jesus for years, and all it took was me turning to him, and he was right there, ready to forgive. Take some time today to be with Jesus. And then tomorrow, as we celebrate Memorial Day, yes, we're going to grill, spend time with family, as that honors those that made the sacrifice for us. That should then point us to Jesus, who made this ultimate sacrifice so that we could be right with God. Jesus transformed death into sleep for us. And that should bring us hope in the midst of our grief. If you bow your heads, close your eyes with me, I'm going to pray before we sing this last song. It's going to be a longer than normal prayer, but I really want us to take time and ask the Lord what he might be saying to us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, there's people here today that have been following you faithfully for years. We thank you for your love and faithfulness to them, even in the midst of hard seasons. In those hard times, they praise you, and in those good seasons, they praise you. Lord, there's also people here that don't know you. They don't know your peace that surpasses understanding. They don't know what happens when a friend or loved one dies. Lord, would you speak to that person here this morning? Would you help them to acknowledge they're a sinner, just like we all are, and ask for your forgiveness? Father, would you help them believe that Jesus is your son and he died for their sins and rose from the dead? Allow them, Lord, to trust in you alone as Savior and follow you as Lord from this day forward. Jesus, our hearts are filled with gratitude for your word, which offers us comfort and hope. In times of grief, remind us of the promise of the resurrection and the assurance that we'll be reunited with our loved ones in your glorious presence. Help us to grieve with hope, knowing that death is not the end, but a transition into eternal life with you. Lord, instill in us a sense of urgency and expectation for Christ's return. Let our lives reflect the anticipation of that glorious day, living each moment with purpose and dedication to your will. Teach us to be ready for the coming of our Savior. And as we live life together, strengthen us to encourage one another. Let our words and actions uplift and support our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we be a source of hope and encouragement, reminding each other of your promises and the joy that awaits. Father, we ask for your grace to live each day with a deep awareness of your presence. Let our hearts be tuned to your voice and our lives be a testament to your love and grace. As we face challenges and trials of this world, may we hold fast to the hope that is found in Christ alone. Teach us to lean on your strength, to trust in your plans, and to find peace in your promises. Help us to reflect your heart. Let us be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Help us to be there for each other, to pray for one another, to walk with one another, and always pointing each other towards you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand if you're able, and let's sing this song together.